Good morning. How are you? Today, as we come before the Lord, it's the gospel that I have used almost every talk I've been given this past year of mercy. And I think it goes perfectly along with the second reading, because when it comes down to it, it's all about Jesus, is the best way I can focus and bring the gospel into one phrase. It's all about Jesus, with the woman, with the people, with Paul. It's all about Jesus. And again, when you come to this reading today, you know, here's a woman caught in adultery. Now, you can fill in the blank for whatever it happens to be in our own lives or our own part of our lives today. Someone's caught in adultery, someone's caught premarital sex, someone's caught in drunkenness, whatever it happens to be, pornography, fill in the blank, and the person's caught, and they're brought before the God of the universe. Now, it's always interesting because Jesus is the Word of God. He wrote the commandments, if you will. Huh? He's always existed as God's Word. So when the commandments were written, he was there. He knows all about them. So when they cut this woman who was caught in adultery, and they throw her before Jesus, you know, now he knows all about this. You know, the law says, Jesus, what do you say? It's just so funny because often we who do the same thing, this is what the law says, but we're not talking about Jesus. We're talking about laws. And laws can take the place and get in front of Jesus way too much. Anyway, so they sit there and they throw this woman. Now she's probably naked and she's there. She knows she's about to be killed because that's what happens according to the law. And then Jesus sits there and doesn't say anything. He writes on the ground. And again, we've talked about this before. We have no idea what he wrote on the ground. Unless your sister Joan Chittister, she knows what he wrote on the ground. Because what she said years ago at a talk is she says, Jesus was writing on the ground, what did he say? He said, "Where is the man?" But we don't know if that's what Jesus says. It sounds good, and we might all want to know where the man was because he's not part of the story. But if she committed adultery, she had to do it with the guy. But he wasn't there. It's part of the way they treated women in those days. Not very good. So anyway, most scholars think what he did was he just start writing the commandments. And then he says to them, "Those who are without sin cast the first stone." And again, everybody left. And then she's alone with Jesus. Again, it's all about Jesus. She's alone with Jesus. And then, like I said, when I was in Columbus a couple weeks ago, and what does Jesus say? "Has anyone condemned you?" "No one, sir." And then, "Neither do I condemn you." And as some of you think immediately, think about how you think about this right now. Because immediately, some of you jump to the next line, which says, "Go and sin no more." Without the focusing. Because people sit there and say, "Well, there's too many people that just focus on the first part and don't focus on the second." And let me give you a hint. There's too many people that focus on the second part that don't focus on the first. Jesus, who is God, says, "Neither do I condemn you." Isn't it amazing the way Jesus deals with people? Because we are the ones that condemn people. Not you. It's the people who are listening to this, of course. But nobody in this church has ever done anything like that. But it's those other pagans, of course. But the reality is all of us have condemned others. Every single person here. Some of us think we're righteous because of it, and we're standing up for what's right. Well, Jesus can handle what's right all by himself. You do realize God can handle all this by himself. He doesn't need us to be the judge. So that's why when God calls us explicitly again and again and again and again, "Do not judge, do not judge, do not judge," we all rationalize why we judge. It's amazing how we do that. And so when we do that, we're not acting like Jesus. Because if Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you," after he says that, then he goes and says, "Go and sin no more." A basic theological principle. Before God gives the commandments, as we've talked about, he first sets his people free from slavery, right? So in the Old Testament, before God gave the people the Ten Commandments, He set them free from the slavery in Egypt. And then they experienced his love. And so because they experienced his love, now they can obey his commandments. What we have done in the church is we have put commandments on people who have never experienced the love of God. You see why that doesn't work? And it will never work. It'll never work in your life. It'll never work in your family's life. If all we do is keep telling these people, these are the commandments, abide them, they will not do it. Again, as we've talked about, only 30% of young people who are catechized in the church stay Catholic. So just because we teach the commandments does not mean that we're making disciples. We need to, first of all, in our own lives, make sure that we have experienced the love of God. Because it is, as I was listening to Father the other day give a homily for the thing, he says, the thing that keeps me is the fear of God. Great. It won't keep you forever, though. Let me give you a hint. Fear will not keep you in line forever. Why? Because fear has to do with who? Yourself. It's about you, about how me following God will affect me, my eternity, me. And that's never of God. We can't be doing what we do for me. We need to be doing what we do for Jesus. Period. To be in this relationship. The reason I repent of sin isn't because I'm afraid to go to hell. And if that's the reason you do it, well, shame on you. It's time for you to grow up. Kids stop playing with matches because they're afraid mommy's going to slap their hand. It's time for you to get out of being a child spiritually. Those who do what they do out of fear are spiritual children. You do what you do because you don't want to hurt someone who loves you. That's spiritual maturity. So when you experience in your own life the love of God, now you become a disciple. And when you become a disciple, then you're on fire for love of him. Of course you wouldn't commit adultery. Of course you wouldn't do it. And if you do, you're immediately sorry. You get up and you keep going back. You obey his commandments because of love. And then when you start doing that in your own life, then you become an instrument of that to others, right? How am I going to bring my son or daughter to know Jesus? I know. I will tell them the commandments, and you're living in sin, and you will go to hell. I've tried that for 20 years. It doesn't work. For the last five, however the Pope Francis has been there, he's been working on me. I don't know if you noticed. But the reality is, it doesn't work, it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So if you want to bring people to Christ, you love them into the faith. You tell them about the love of Jesus, how Jesus died for their sins, how Jesus came to set them free from their slavery, because it's exactly what they are. They are a slave to sin. Jesus wants to set them free. And when you hit people with that gospel, then they will sit there and turn. Because love makes people do everything. Fear can control people for a while, but it doesn't bring a change of heart. They're still about themselves. So I want us to think, first of all, about our own relationship with God. Do I do what I do out of love for him? And second, how do I deal with others when they are in sin? Do I love them out of their sin, or do I judge them out of their sin? The call, of course, is to love people out of sin. And when you and I do that, then we're going to have more disciples. And again, when we know the intimacy of Jesus, and we want others to know the intimacy of Jesus, and not just the rules of Jesus and his church, the rules of Jesus and his church will bring no one to Christ. I promise. But the love of Jesus, he died for us on the cross. He transformed us. When we come to know we're loved, then we sin no more. The woman knew that if she committed adultery, she would be killed. She still committed adultery. What stopped her from sinning no more was the love of Jesus. You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? May you know his love today and forever. Amen.